Greenback to Bear, my name. I came in June of 42. I'm not a charter member. Of course, the AA had been here 1 year at that time. And I had read about the first anniversary celebration was the reason there's a mountain which I got in contact with. I had really read the article in Collier's, I believe, about it.
Saturday Evening Post.
Well, it was a famous article there. I read that article. I was half drunk when I read it. But I even in that condition, I realized there was something in it that attracted me a whole lot, and I felt whoever was writing it understood the problem, which, of course, they did much better than I did. I never will forget reading that article. Now where
was the group at when you came?
Well, the group was at Broad Street. It used to be, well, in recent years to identify it, it was called an old Broad Street group, which was the first permanent home that AA had in Atlanta. It had met in hotels and it met in private home, I understood, in the year before, prior to that. But that was next door to Joey Muse's, upstairs. And of course, Neely well remembers that location. And
well, approximately how many members did they have when you came in down there? I mean, did...
Oh, I think they had a pretty good bunch to be the first, about 30, I think. And then later on, we went on a good bit. War was on, and a good many of them were drafted or moved around by their companies but we did go down for a year or so, but then there was a revival of interest. And even as small as we were fortunate enough to have Bill Wilson come here twice during those early years.
One of those trips, he started Federal Friend Group.
Yeah, I believe I'd heard that. I was, yeah, on one of these occasions that he was here, while he was established the Federal Pen Group, which is still active.
Well, that's probably one of the oldest institutional meetings there is, isn't it?
I would think it would be the oldest of an institution. What, Neela, what is the second group here in Atlanta, though? I know the Decatur group.
You mean the...
in the metropolitan area.
It was the West End.
Oh, it was?
Mm-hmm, met on Sunday afternoon.
Well, I know Decatur plans to be the third, but I didn't know who the third was.
Oh, Decatur's not the third.
No.
Well,
no,
maybe
no,
not.
No.
Well, it didn't start much later.
Well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they said the third in DeKalb County. It might be that.
Yeah, it might be that.
It might be that.
That'll be third somewhere, huh?
Well, I think I heard Virgil, but I wouldn't want to back it up. But I've took enough time now.
How did y'all, well, since it was already there on Broad Street when you came in.
Yeah, it had been that few years.
I heard a lot of talk about the problems of getting the room and moving from place to place and getting one painted up and then to move again.
We did stay there. I believe we were there 3 years, but... after that, it seemed that we did have a constant problem finding it. We went to Houston street, and that place was burned down, burned out by faulty wiring. And then over there in that.
Neely, where did you come in at?
She's broke.
I came in on Broad Street. First came in 43. Sam Dr. John called AA, Sam Dr. And
Sammy Young
came out to see me, and I went to AA 43 on Broad Street. Mac was there, but I didn't stay sober. 2 years
ago,
I think so.
Well, I know this from your talks, you know, I was just, yeah, you know, getting it for the tape.
So, I thought we had about 40 people then. I'm not sure, just guessing. But then we had to leave because they were going, News wanted to do something with the building. Mr. Candler owned the building, and he gave it to us, let us meet there rent-free. And they were going to do something else with the building, and we had to leave. And as Max said, we had several different places we went to before we found this building. We met at the Chamber of Commerce, and we met the YMCA.
And didn't they meet on North Avenue a little while later? Was it?
No. Yeah,
I thought it was right after Houston Street.
Yeah, that Houston burned, and then we went where the mosque is now.
Yeah, it was right down from it.
Second floor.
Well, yeah.
They painted in. Mm-hmm. It was on North Avenue and Spring Street.
Well, is this the one that was upstairs from the beer joint?
No, it was the beer joint.
Yeah, that's right. It was a yellow jacket.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. No, I don't know.
We were on the second floor.
But it was upstairs over.
And that's when we had our first secretary, Mamie Shipp. You remember Mamie Shipp?
Who?
Mamie Shipp. She was our first
paid secretary.
Yeah, Yeah. She was non-alcoholic. She lives in Washington, D.C. I hear from her.
Well, you know, I sit on the non-alcoholic because I was secretary down Broad Street.
Yeah, but this is
you mean paid.
Paid non-alcoholic.
Yeah, no. Nah.
And a lot of people came in. I think Carl came in on North Avenue.
I believe he did.
Palmer came in on North Avenue. And a lot of people came in. We began to grow then.
Andrea came in on North Avenue too. Oh, Andrea.
Craig's wife. Yeah, okay. To find out about it.
Yeah, but I didn't.
And you believe you said you came in down when he was on Whitehall later.
Hunter Street.
Then we left North Avenue, we went to Hunter Street.
Yeah.
And that was 3 flights up. And on a beer joint underneath us, too. Some wine, anyway.
Yeah. This is a very interesting book.
Carl Tangenter did that. Several years ago. You can have that. I've got a few more left.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. I'll treasure this.
You see, Decatur, the Northeast group, Mac, is much older than the Decatur group. Because we didn't call it the Decatur group.
Yeah.
We were a little Five Points group, and then we became...
Well, The Northeast group, or whatever it was called then, from what I understand, really, it was moved about quite frequently, too.
Yeah, we did. We met one time in the judge's chambers on Mason and the cab.
I remember that.
Upstairs, in the judge's chamber.
In 1947, the West End group was started.
And in 40, when was the Northeast group? 48.
Mm.
Little
Five
Points group.
Let's see, it
ought
to be right
in here, I think. But it don't give a date.
Well, we were the next one. After West End, and the next one was...
They was about the group being
and
40
then Buckhead,
of hours in there.
Buckhead became autonomous about that time.
The central group, I was in.
Well, what was this flit about that they're talking.
Well, and Fred Bridges, who was very prominent, and they then did a lot of good, although I'm helping me on the other side of this split. But Morgan Blake was going to solicit funds for the AA to get us a rented place or maybe even a permanent place. And there were a great deal of dissension over where we should accept that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was very controversial. And of course, Bridges' idea was being more in line with the prevailing idea and the prison idea in AA. But we did vote the other way, see, and then they went to Morgan Blake, you know, and persuaded him to withdraw, you know, from the offer. And they were a great deal of ill feeling over it. And this was Central Group, one of the group that split off at that time.
Went to the Kimball House. I went.
I left too, see.
We didn't stay too long, though.
Nobody
we drifted
is.
Back to the mother group one by one until everybody except, what was his name?
I told you, he lived in it, made Paul. Who was that boy?
What was his name? He lives in Florida now.
And he was a, well, he...
Everybody went back to the main group with him. He sold all the things we had, the furniture and everything,
else. I know.
He kept the money, and later, many years later, he sent that money to New York.
He was a pretty nice
fellow. He was all right.
He was a little I couldn't think of it. I remember very well just how he looked.
I do.
Honey Scrugg was in the Central Group.
Saw him in North Carolina at the convention.
So he's still active?
He was then.
Well, Bible would as Ernest just absolutely give up AA on his crew?
I don't know. I never hear from him.
Nobody seems to ever have any contact with him. I don't. Has he retired?
I don't know that either. The last time I talked to Catherine was when Carl was getting up that book, that little book on the history. And she said that Ernest, he went to work and he came home and went to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not well. She has emphysema. And I never called anymore. She didn't call me anymore.
Uh-huh.
That's been 3 or 4 years ago.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know what's happened to him. Don't know.
He would be the only child of member left.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He would.
I'm saying, is Steve Morris dead? You know, the
child.
Is it
dead? I don't think so. I don't remember.
There's been so many years since I've heard either way.
Well, he was here at one of our banquets and talked. One that met at the Ansley Hotel. And I haven't seen him since then.
Let's see, I'm Joe
Fallon.
I'm Joe Fallon and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Joe.
I came down first in June of 1953.
He was still at 5 minutes.
Well, I went to Columbus, Georgia. I spent a month there, went to some meetings down there, and then I went back and got my family and brought them in July of 53. And I had gotten sober the 1st of March in 1949, which is my sobriety date, back in Woburn, Massachusetts. I came down here to run an office for General Finance. And I used to go on Friday nights after I closed my office out in West End to the West End meeting. And I had 4 years of sobriety coming to Atlanta. But it was strange, and I thought long and hard before I brought my little family, had 4 children at that time, down here. And I used to go to this meeting in West End, and there were only 4 or 5 people generally at this meeting, and it was a discussion meeting.
And a couple of Friday nights I missed. I had to do something with the family or something early on coming to Georgia. And I'm gonna forget, this fella called me. He used to work for the Atlanta Journal. He was a member of that group, and I can't think of his name. But he said, Joe,
he
called
moved
me
down
one,
here from Ohio, didn't he, or somewhere in the Middle West.
And he'd been sober about the same. None of them had been sober any longer than I had. They all had 3 or 4 years. Some of them had less, but the most had 3 or 4 at that point. And this guy called me one night. He says, you know, we missed you the last couple of weeks. And boy, that really reached me. I just still remember it 25 years ago. Then later on, I got to be involved, and I used to go down to the downtown group. When I first came to Atlanta, when we first came, the family, you were still meeting at 522. That was in 53, and then later in 53, or first of 54, they formed the clubhouse down in on Walton Street. And I used to go to that meeting a lot on Friday nights. I thought that AA in Atlanta was very good from the very beginning, the quality of it. I was told by my people up north that they were very big on the God bit. Of course, I'd learned to find out that that's the central way to get sober. So then, in effect, my people in the north were complimenting our southern AA without really realizing it. And people were just wonderful to us from the very beginning. And in 1956, Atlanta had their first state convention, and I was asked to speak at that. And in 71, they had another one, and I got a chance to be involved on that program, too. Later on, in the early 50s, I started going to Buckhead a lot, my wife and I, on a Sunday night. And that was a tremendous group, because there was a fellow by the name of Tom Burrell, who was a member of that group at that time. And Tom, of course, had been an early trustee of Alcoholics
Anonymous. One of the first 100 members of that.
One of the first 100 members and an early trustee. And a tremendous guy. As a matter of fact, he's Dave C. in North Carolina's sponsor, because he later on moved from Atlanta to Raleigh or whatever. A tremendous guy. So I had a flavor of the beginnings of AA here, which was important to me. Another thing that happened in my AA life early was that the man who made the first call on me, Johnny S., who now lives in Alabama, got sober in 42, and his sponsor was Bob, co-founder of Alcoholics Now, of Akron, or at least Bob 12-stepped him. He belonged to Bob's group. And I think that this continuity that comes from the beginnings of Alcoholics has always been, it had a large effect upon me, because I feel the overall beginning way back when this thing fell, because I've had the good fortune of having either a sponsor or a link somehow to the beginnings of Alcoholics Anonymous. I've spent practically all my life in AA. It's very, very important. Finally, the only thing that I would add is that I think that AA in Atlanta has always been tremendous, and I think it's getting better.
At least it's expanding anyway.
Well, it's getting better. I'm not worried about it.
And where did you say that place was you came in downtown?
Well,
meetings
I went to was out in West End.
No, I was talking about downtown proper.
Well, 522 West Peachtree.
522 West Peachtree was the clubhouse when I first came to Georgia in 53. And then a few months later, or within the 5 or 6 months, they closed 522 and they opened up the clubhouse on Walton Street, where they used to have the Friday night meetings and other meetings.
Well,
that's your question.
Yeah, well, now after that, how long was it before, didn't they go down there to the Forks and the peach trees?
They had that came later on. How long ago was that? How long after was that, for 5 or 6 years?
two or three years, yeah.
You only stayed at Walton about, well, we stayed at Walton about three, four, 5 years maybe, yeah?
3 years or so, let's see.
Yeah. Now, we did have a club later on at the Forks, that's right.
What was it, 398 and a half, I believe.
298.
Or 298 and a half or something like
upstairs,
that.
Upstairs, yeah.
Upstairs. Then we moved from there to 598 and a half. Peachtree.
That's right, up near North Avenue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
On the ground floor.
Yeah.
There. That was later on.
Fred, let's start kind of back with you and say who you are and where you came in at and kind of maybe something somebody said already will kind of jog your memory about a few things that they might have left out.
Well, I'm Fred Norris and I came in on Hunter Street on November the 29th, 1948. That was the second attempt to get sober. And so far, up until today, I've been able to stay sober ever since that day. Now, what happened, I don't know. Something happened to happen. A moment of truth happened that Sunday morning that told me I couldn't drink anymore. So I got to AA club room on that Sunday morning, and that was down on Hunter Street. And I got active in AA, busy trying to learn what sobriety was all about. And I've been still trying to learn ever since. And one day at a time was this way. And I've been through all the moves that we've gone shortly after I got there, rather. We had to go out to 522 West Peachtree. I was busy in that, and elected me secretary, treasurer, and I had to wonder why $700 or $800 a month was going to come to pay for all the operations, and this got too big. We couldn't handle it, so we had to split up. Then we moved to Walton Street, and we got along there for a couple of years. I don't know how long now, I don't remember. So we moved from there to 298 Peachtree. We had a nice place at 298. That was a good meeting place. And we had about 60 people in the group when I came in. I think it was about that many. And they began to pick up. We had a good crowd. We got to Peachtree. Then, of course, after so long a time, they wanted to do something with that building, and we had to move again to 598 and a half Peachtree. And between Arwin Hicks Green and other people, we basically had to move from there. So we moved down on the corner of 3rd and West Peachtree, upstairs. Mm-hmm. And after so long a time, they wanted to remodel that building. Ben Hyman owned the building and he wanted to use it, so we had to move again.
Earlier on, we was talking about the meeting place being over a beer joint. Now, this one here was over the liquor store.
On
3rd.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I just wanted to put that in
at this particular time. But we moved from 3rd Street and then to Spring Street. I don't remember the number on Spring Street. But we moved in the front of a building over there and made mannequins. These new mannequins for store windows and whatnot, we took half of that building. And we never did do well at Spring Street. People just didn't come there. And eventually it just got to the point that we had nothing to offer anybody. Eventually we just closed it out right there in the downtown group.
When, about what year was that one closed? 60 maybe, 65.
Mm-hmm. 10
years ago?
Well, about
10
years ago.
Yeah, 66, 67.
Yeah. So we closed it out there, and I've been wandering from one group to another, not particularly wandering, but I got interested in this broccoli group. at Jordan Mental Health, the old Jordan Clinic. So I've been out there now for 8 years.
Well, can anyone remember, I heard or talked to someone that they had a answering service office or before we ever got one, it was separated away from a group. I think it's mentioned in there
Lucky,
somewhere.
It was on Lucky Street, wasn't it?
That they had a secretary in the corner or something other in a little room off to the side or something in one of the meeting places.
Well, we had a secretary on Hunter Street. I mean, Catherine's secretary on Hunter Street. And Ellen Robinson was secretary on at 522.
He's talking about at Metro, though, after all these little groups became autonomous. That's one reason I think that the downtown group started going down, is because everybody nearly became a member of one of these neighborhood groups. And when they started doing this, we had to move the secretary. We couldn't have the secretary for Metro Atlanta Society, meet in a club room because it was all autonomous, and we couldn't have one working out of a club room. We had to have an office. And we first went to Lucky Street, I think, and we had volunteer the first year that we had this Adelaide Society and had an office downtown. We didn't have any money, so we had volunteer people that went every day and answered the telephone and gave out the information and did the work. And then after the first year, we had gotten enough money. I thought we could get enough money from the different groups. We got a man up there, secretary, who had retired from his work and was willing to work for very little. And he worked for a year. And then we've had a succession of secretaries for the intergroup. And now, of course, we've got over 100 groups.
Well, in one of our earlier meeting schedules, I think I've got one somewhere at home, that at one time we had 3 answering services in Atlanta. We had one in West End, we had one out at NABA, and we had one downtown.
Well, that was a good many years later because NABA didn't come into existence.
It says here the corporation was formed in 1946 in Atlanta.
That's when we first had to pay rent.
Yeah.
When we went to North Avenue, and we first had to pay rent because these other places we had been to, we didn't have to pay any rent. We had to form a corporation. An audit, a fiscal agent for AA. And that's when
I remember another thing when I first came down from the north. I came out of a big book group in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I got sober and moving. And I had the opinion, rightly or wrongly, as I went around to a few of the meetings when I first came to Atlanta. There were only 4, I believe. Let me see, when we came here, there was Northeast, it was Buckhead, West End, downtown.
Buckhead.
Buckhead was there then.
Third one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Was there a 5th group, Neely, or was that about it in 53?
It's in the spring. About the time that was taking place. It's in the spring.
Okay. But in any case, I got the opinion that the people in Alcoholics Anonymous in Atlanta, although it was a great program and a good feeling, were a little weak on the big book. And so I appointed myself, obviously, as an alcoholic, as a committee of one. to go around to all the groups, and I don't know if you remember this, Neely, but I would have made great talks on the big book.
I think we're still a little weak.
and I was going to say that. We haven't changed much because I think we're still in certain spots a little weak on the big book, you know. But I had the good fortune of coming into a group in Massachusetts where the big book was, you got right with that immediately.
It says here in 1949 a Brookhaven group was formed.
49, eh?
Yeah, meeting on Rumson Road. This proved to be a thriving and fast-growing group and contributed to the formation of three other groups. The Scowlin group, the Andy Park, and Sandy Springs.
Yeah.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but later on, like Skyland
came from
after I got here, it was like 55 or something. Sandy Springs. Now, when was what was the original Sandy Springs group? What is that group called today?
Mount Vernon.
Oh, that group is that old, eh? It's maybe 55 or 56, huh? 20 years, huh?
There's one event that happened that I think it should be recorded. And that is that in 1951, Atlanta was host to the first Southeastern Convention, and Bill Wilson was here, and he talked at every meeting that we had except the day of the banquet, and he didn't talk that time. Sometimes he talked at the end of the meeting maybe 5 or 10 minutes, and sometimes he talked 30 minutes. Telling about the history of AA and his experiences. And those of us who were in AA in 1951 in Atlanta will just never forget that Bill Wilson was here, and he played a big part in that convention. Soon after that, Bill stopped going around visiting because there were too many groups that wanted him and it would have just taken too much time. So those of us that were in AA at that time had the privilege of spending that weekend with Bill.
Neely's too modest to say it too, but Neely was the first delegate to the General Service Conference in the state of Georgia. What year was your panel?
52 and 53. It was the second panel.
She was the second delegate.
The second?
No.
She was the first
delegate.
Oh, Bonnie was saying.
Who? I was the first delegate. Yes. He was the second delegate.
No.
And I was the first lady delegate that the conference had. I'm the only lady that Georgia's had.
Really?
Yeah. We've never.
Oh, I'm sure over the years that will change, maybe.
I think so too.
Well, it's taken a long time. That's 20.
We got one in view, haven't we?
That was. Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, ooh. 2 years away.
Denise. Man, that girl is going. Denise Shelton.
We got to wait a while, yeah?
Yeah, we got to wait a while. She only has left 2 years.
Well, I'm embarrassed. I don't know. You see, what group is she in?
Juniper right now. Juniper group. She goes everywhere. She's talked to
the kids. She a blonde-headed.
No.
Oh, I'm thinking about
she's
somebody.
She's just 27 years old, and she's got long, curly hair.
Oh.
I think she talked to
the group.
I didn't
go. I want a phone number before I leave because I'm the chairman of my group.
That's good talk.
Beautiful.
Good members.
Beautiful talk.
Jill, I know you talk a good bit. I just want, don't it get increasingly difficult? The talking AA, Sam Dugger used to tell me that he was one of our other great people because, you know, somewhere or another it's inevitable that the talk will have a diminishing interest if you've already heard it. You've got to go over a lot of the same thing, haven't you?
You talking to me, Mac?
Well, anybody. I mean, you can't escape repetition.
No. He
used to tell me it hard. He was a minister, but he told me it harder than preaching, you know, because it was confined to area of Cuba.
He was a dynamic speaker.
Yeah, but he said it was just increasing difficult to vary a talk somewhere.
Well, I think some, I don't know whether this is right, but number one, I'm always talking to the new person. He ain't heard me.
Yeah.
Number two, my story, what it was like and what happened, isn't going to change because it can't change.
Mm.
But what's happening now in my, and what's happening in my life and what's happening as a result of how it does change, it's a changing thing. So there is some things that, and then if fortunately, if you can talk about more what it's like now, what it's like since what had happened, you can bring up things that may be new in your life, which could be helpful. But the main thing is, there's only one message in Alcoholics Anonymous that I see it. You know, is that I was a drunk and I get sober and I stay sober happily in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I want a new man to know that. And hopefully that new person or whatever will identify. That's how I got hooked in Alcoholics Anonymous. I saw guys and they were sober and they were drunks, and I said, gee, if it happened to them, like maybe it can happen to me, and I started. And one day at a time, for a little over 29 years, it's working, like with Fred. So I don't think too much about it. I think maybe there's a difference between sharing in Alcoholics Anonymous and preaching in a church, even though Sam was a tremendous preacher. We're coming from a different place because we're sharing our guts and our hopes and our dreams and our experience.
There were not very many speakers like Sam either.
No,
he and now good. We've got so many more people in there and so many more people to share the experiences.
I know he did. I knew him well at that time. He did feel that was a problem to him, you know. But he surmounted the problem. But he did feel, you know, that having to repeat so much. That's not amazing. That's just a, his amount of interest was.
Well, do you think it's necessary to try to vary your talk?
Only your experience, up to today. I try to think, you know, you can't tell everything that happened to you during your drinking time in one talk. And often when I don't talk too much, but when I do talk, I try to think, and it's to a group that I've talked to before, I try to think of something that happened that I haven't told before. And I think maybe that's one reason it's a good thing to make a talk, because you take your inventory, you think about these things that did happen to you at that time that you haven't forgotten. And I can usually come up with something new that I did that I never have told before. But it is a little hard, all right, because you can't change that your drinking experiences. But you're going to find now with all these people in that age that they're going to be half of them never heard you before.
Yeah, that's one good thing. Yeah, that's true, because there's so many new people. Like Neely was at the meeting the other night. She said she didn't know very few of them. Sometimes I look around a meeting and I say, where the hell are all my the guys that I knew just 5 years ago? Never mind 25 years, I'm talking about 5 years ago. And of course the answer is most of those people are hopefully, they're in other meetings, we've got so many of them. They haven't left or dropped out of Alcoholics Anonymous. They're just some other meeting that night, you know. We've got 30 meetings every night, Jack. In Atlanta, so you know.
Well, them being sober that long, wouldn't you think that
while you're talking here, maybe they're talking somewhere
well,
else.
That could be too, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
right.
You know, with any length of sobriety at all. And
sort of out of meeting. I'm like, I don't talk anywhere. I don't talk so much anymore. People have feeling, well, I haven't talked. Hell, we've heard him 20 times over the last 25 years. This is different.
Well, when I go, personally, when I go to hear a speaker, say you or Neely or Fred, you know, that I've heard before, I'm not looking so much personally as far as the drinking part of it goes, because I know most of that.
Yeah, that's right.
But what I want to hear personally is after you came in AA, what you've been doing recently.
Right.
You know.
Well, that's what we're talking about. That's right.
Because
and that changes.
Yeah, that changes.
That's what you can change.
Yeah.
That. And that's what I think, too, that a talk should be mostly about.
Yeah.
Well,
well, I didn't mean his name just flashed in my mind, but that is Jim Kiley pretty sick now?
Yes, he is.
He's not too well.
See, he's sort of feeble. He's had a stroke, and he can't get about too well.
Hey, he's made it. I heard him at Skyland within the last month or 6 weeks. He made an excellent
talk.
He
does. He makes a beautiful talk.
Talking about talks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was complete. It was really amazing. It was a tremendous talk. It was all about now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a tremendous talk.
Mm-hmm. I remember when Jim came in down on Walton Street. We elected him secretary and treasurer.
Yeah.
I gave him the books for $2.50, I think it was. And $40 worth of the bills. He wanna know what happened when the booth is. I don't know, but it'll all work out all right.
That's the famous expression of Fred's, it'll work out all right.
Yeah, I used to resent that feller for that, you know. Everything gonna be all right. And Lord, is deep mired in my own depressions and things about worrying about finances and stuff, but after a few years, I saw what Fred was talking about. You know, if you do the best you can with what you got, you know, and don't regress, then everything will be all right. But we're talking about Jim Kiley, and he's one of the members that couldn't be here today, and like I was telling Neely earlier that. I'm going to have to go around to these and get them one-on-one, you know. And him and Malcolm Nash and maybe Carl.
Yeah, one guy I want to get into this thing that made a tremendous contribution to Alcoholics Anonymous, man, and that was Red Reynolds. We talked earlier about the group out at the federal prison. And Red was the sponsor of that group for many years. And I don't think Red ever missed a Sunday morning for years and years at that meeting. This guy is somebody that I will never forget. I mean, he just was a saint in my book. This guy was completely selfless. This was just a tremendous guy. And I consider him one of the finest members of Alcoholics Anonymous I have ever had the privilege of knowing.
Great contribution to AA in Atlanta.
Yeah, strong.
I need a scratch pad to write some of these names down.
Well, you'll have mine here.
Well, I know, but
Red, of course, gone dead many years.
Right.
Yeah. But wasn't he, wouldn't you agree? He was a tremendous faithful man, worker in alcohol.
Well, when did Sam Belcher die? He's been dead a good while. Sam, when did he die?
I don't know when Sam died.
He's been dead 15 years, hasn't he?
I never met him. Never met Sam. Did he go away? He went away from Atlanta.
Yeah, he was preaching in Bristol, Virginia, Bristol, Tennessee, when he died. Type of heart attack. But I don't.
He must be dead 15, 20.
The last time I saw him, I think, was in New Orleans about in 53. But I don't know just when he died.
Another person that you could talk to would be helpful would be John F. John F. John has got in his wall down
down in his basement. I know you've been to meetings at Jack. I have. And it was that. He's got a couple of pictures. Fred's in either one of them, both of them. I'm in one of them. But there are a group of members of 20 to 25 years ago on that wall. As a matter of fact, I think Red Reynolds is in that. And John would be, has an interesting contribution to make to this type of an endeavor, and I would recommend you talk to him.
I think that
he's on my list.
Yeah, have him on your list, because he's got some good stuff. And have him check those pictures for you, for people.
I think it in this record, I believe that we ought to have the way Atlanta accepted this integration. I don't believe anybody could have done it any smoother or any better than Atlanta did, because there was never any discussion about it. When it came, they came to AA and we went to them. There was never any disagreement.
Well, there's a and name that...
I think it ought to be...
All Britain.
Yeah, Bud.
Burge Allbritton. Now, he was very instrumental in that.
I saw him.
Very good member.
I saw him in South Carolina.
Yeah, he's in South Carolina.
I believe in Winston-Salem.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's a very hard worker. Burge is in, what, 15, 16 years, maybe? He came along around 60, early 60. But he's
a
tremendous
contribution.
But
I would like to have that in the history of AA. But I think it was wonderful the way that was handled.
Well,
it came about. It just came about. Atlanta was never in the discussion.
Never.
Never.
Mm-mm. Well, if I get off the subject point, but I know I was trying to think to tell some of this, but I know neither. I know you'll know who I'm talking about. At the convention the meeting that they had for older members, this gentleman from Charlotte, he had been sober longer than anybody. He told me he's 75, but who was he? He don't look 75. You remember, don't you?
I don't remember somebody from Charlotte.
Well, maybe I've got the town mixed up. I know he...
One Tom Shaw from Jackson.
No, it wasn't Tom.
Well...
He presided.
There were one or two there that I didn't know at all.
Well...
And it probably was...
I know who you mean.
I know, too. I don't know...
I know.
He
came down here from Ohio or someplace.
Yeah, from that group.
Oh, he's a tremendous guy. He's got 36 years.
Come on now.
I know him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think of his name. I've been at conventions with him.
Yeah, well, that's who I'm talking about.
That's it. I remember now.
I know I shook hands with him.
Wilson Booty.
Wilson.
His name is Wilson Booty. Booty.
And he lives in South Carolina now.
No, he lives in Charlotte.
North Carolina.
Charlotte, North Carolina.
But he had been in a group in Ohio.
Yeah, he came in
early.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Boy,
I know. It comes back to me.
He was 36
I knew him.
Or
I first met him at Monroe.
That's right.
You and I were at Camp Monroe.
Camp Monroe a couple years ago. That's right.
Well, that's who
he's a great guy.
I talked with him.
And he sure—he is 75, and he don't look it.
No, he doesn't look it.
He's still working. He retired, moved down in, he's gone back to work.
Yeah, he's still working.
Married again?
Great guy.
You're right.
Well, along this line, what I'm going to do, I can get a copy of what was talked down there where, you know, how they had that panel of the old timers.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to incorporate that in this.
He would be recognizing that, Wilson Booty. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right, Wilson. That's
he made a little talk. I mean,
he talked.
I'd say, if I'm not mistaken, I think he's been sober about 38 years.
I could be wrong.
Seems like in my mind, he's
38 years, they would put it back in 1940.
Yeah, well, he was in Ohio. It was
up there.
It was near
Akron.
Yeah.
I
don't know.
Well, now, there's been a lot of debate among some people in along this time, Clarence Snyder. Now he, from what I understand, claims to be the oldest living sober member in AA. Does this hold up, or?
I wouldn't know.
Where is he from?
Well, right now he's at, what is it, Lakeland?
I don't know where.
Somewhere in Florida.
No, it's not Lakeland, it's a...
St. Petersburg, I believe.
No, he moved from there. Orlando, that's where he's at. Orlando, Florida.
Well, I personally don't know. I don't know him personally either.
Well, I don't want to start no controversy.
No,
I'm
you
trying to get some records, you know.
But those things sometimes are detrimental because it's different one having controversy over how long they've been sober.
What difference does it make?
Well, what I say,
if
it's been substantial, time is a great value, but there's different ones, you know, and some of them are.
Well, to me.
It's just one day anyway.
Yeah. Well, to me. It's like delving into why. To devil with why, what are you doing about it? You know,
that's right.
This is the important thing.
Yeah, well, the doctors and all the outside experts have all been able to talk about why of alcoholism. Alcoholics Anonymous, my attitude when I came in, my guy said, that ain't important, Joe. We're staying sober today, one day at a time, and we got 12 steps. Let's go. Let's get the job done.
I like to emphasize the fact that you don't stand still in AA either. You're either going to grow or you're going to go backwards. You know, they don't stand still in AA.
That's the reason that we are here today is because we didn't stand still.
That's right.
Well, I think one of the central themes of what I've heard this morning is that service. Everyone has mentioned it in one form or another. I mean, you know, they've been active in service work.
Well, Neely likes to say, and I think it's very, it helps me to boil it down. That's what Alcoholics Anonymous is, it's love and service. And
I think we're all happier when we are serving. And I don't think we'd be sober today if we weren't interested in helping the other alcoholics.
You know, Jack, when I first came in, these guys told me that the only way they could keep it was to give it away. And I thought they were out of their ever living mind.
What do you mean, giving away? This is good?
We know what they were talking about this morning.
Jack, I want to tell you this right here because I haven't seen you since. I appreciated my Christmas card so much. You don't know. Now that's service.
I did too.
That's
you
service.
Sent me one, you asked me.
Yeah,
and I called you up, didn't I?
And then
yes,
I had a Christmas card from Mike, and I've never had a Christmas card from him before, and I appreciate it most in the world.
Yes, I called him.
You
up.
Don't know how good it is to be remembered when you get my age.
Listen, I got a new plan. We haven't sent any Christmas cards in years. And I, you know what I do? I just call everybody up who sent me one. Gives me a chance to talk with them. And it's better than sending them one. I call them up.
That
and talk
impressed
to
me so much that Mac thought about me and sent me a Christmas card.
Well, this is one of the reasons that I instigated this thing. Is that, you know, you could go down to the office and pick up that book, and it's just a bunch of words, you know. And so as years go by, all of us know that eventually we all got to go sometime.
That's
and some of our older members are really getting old, you know. And if we don't get it on tape now, that we might miss one.
Bill, Mac, 3 weeks ago today, I was in Louisville, Kentucky, and I was with Bill and Elizabeth Cooper.
Oh, you are! How are they?
They came, they're fine. They came to the Friday night meeting, and I saw them, and then they came back Saturday night and had dinner with me, and we all went to the meeting Saturday night.
They come from Louisville?
From here.
Oh, they come from
here?
He was one of the first people in there. Hey, Bill Cooper.
Bill Cooper?
He came in. And never had another drink.
And he went out
to Louisville.
He's an Indian that was at Fort Mac, and he came into AA.
They went from here to go to the meeting in Louisville?
No.
They
lived there for a number of years. Yeah, okay. They just recently moved to Louisville.
I see.
Elizabeth came from Louisville.
Well, one of the deepest people I've ever known already, but he couldn't. He couldn't talk, he couldn't deliver, he wouldn't make a talk. He's even more stage fright.
One of the smartest people I've ever known.
But he understood.
Oh, Lord, yeah, Bill Cooper was deep, not only in AA and most areas.
Yeah.
He was deep in palm.
So and
he meant a lot.
And to ask about you, I don't know how you were getting along.
Yeah. Well, I always thought a lot of Bill and Mark.
Elizabeth has
more
sobriety than I do, his wife.
So both alcoholics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bill, I don't know the year he came in, but it was.
Well, it was probably four, I believe.
I don't know. It
he come out and had to be probably one dishonorable discharge. That's my dad. But he did get out for the war with us. he was. Oh, Bill was down. He was down at that time. He was very serious about it. I've always thought, because people don't really know who it was. But Bill said that, you know, if he couldn't stay sober, he intended to kill himself. He is so desperate. Now, he didn't say that to us then. He wasn't trying to be dramatic. But years later, he said that that was what his intention was. And you know, as neither said, Bill never had a slip. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of mine. Put a rough for this year.
I did too,
Little
did, but not Bill.
Well, I did too. I first was called down late in 45, and I didn't get sober till. Let me check that. That's not right. I was called down late in 46. In December, Johnny Simon came to our house in Fall River, Massachusetts, and I didn't get sober. But 2 years and 3 months later, in March of 49. So they used to say in those days that about 50% got sober right away, didn't they? And then 25% bounced a little bit or whatever, and then 25% they never.
Never did. When I came in, McNamara was secretary and treasurer of the group.
Yeah, it was on Broad.
Mac, he's watched that much.
Well, it's like you know, I mean, like Jack said, it's a problem, you know, sometimes to meet the, even the small bill that we had. We wasn't paying rent, but, you know, well, it's much surplus. I don't think I made a good secretary, but I do think I'm tired to say I made a good treasurer.
Well, anyway, the group's still going, so I reckon you did good.
You know, it's amazing. We get around different groups. We've got a lot of people out there around the clinic that's coming in this 28-day program, they call it. You say something about staying sober 30 years, but you're older than some of the people that are coming in.
That's right.
And then sober older than they are, longer than they are even old. And they just can't understand it. But I don't like to brag on it. I don't like to see anybody else brag on the length of sobriety, but it's important. Those people can realize, I've heard a lot of people say that, I just couldn't imagine about being sober that long. But this thing does work. And we need to let these new people know that. Well, Sting, I couldn't imagine staying sober 30 days, let alone 30 years, when I got here. But little by little, I put a lot of things together. You know, that's why I try to emphasize to new people. Put a lot of little things together. Don't try to get it all at one time, one big lump. Just get a lot of little things and put them together, and pretty soon you have something working for you. Mm-hmm. And we've got several people out in the clinic now with 5-6 years sobriety. And we had one patient at the clinic, first meeting we had.
and she's got about 6 years, 7 years of riding there. So, who knows?
There must be something. I toil with that. There's something in the group itself, isn't there? I mean, the different. Now, you get back to say fundamentalist God, but even in the churches and all, God there, but it's many people do get so bad, but not the percentage, I don't think, it gets so bad. There's a certain channel or something.
It frightens me. To hear someone that's been sober a number of years and stopped back to drinking. And my experience with those people that do that is that they aren't active in the program.
Well, now, somebody.
They're not in a group. They do not work at the group level. And they're not active in the program of AA.
Well, I don't know who said this, but I've thought of it many, many times through the years. It is something that I read in some AA literature, or neighborhood, some prominent AA speaker say, but on what you're talking about, people not being active, he said that sobriety is a practice, not a possession. And that has stuck with me, although I don't know the source. Who I'm quoting. I either read it or...
That's good. You have to practice it.
It's a practice, not a position.
We were taught that over and over and over again. We hear the 12 steps.
Yeah.
We hear the program over and over again. It's a practice. You can't ever do it too much.
Well, it seems like it's something, you know, once in a while you go to a funeral and you'll see a lot of people you haven't seen in many years, members who you don't see anymore. Hopefully maybe some of them are going to groups other than meetings other than what I go to. But my feeling, just as an individual, and that's all any of us have, is that somehow I didn't know much when I came to AA except that I needed it all. And I continue to need it. Now, there may be some people who are not as sick as I was and have it after a few years and it's over and away, but I don't know. I know I can't. I need it and want it just as much, if not more so now, than I ever did. But I like to emphasize that when I'm talking about this, that isn't a negative need or a negative want or hanging on by my toenails. That's a positive. I just like it. I just like being where I'm at and like being involved in our fellowship. And not only because I ought to, but I really want to. I'm just where I am, where I should have been all the time. It's a very positive kind of a